Hey science fans, it's Mrs. Corbett here and I'm going to teach my husband some GCSE science.
So I am the husband.
Oi, oi, husband.
Oi, oi, Mrs. Corbett. Hello, hello, hello. What's going on here then?
I was meant to say ahoy, but it didn't come out.
Ahoy, ahoy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. You want to do some biology? We're nearly finished.
There's nothing I would want more in this world of ours than to do some biology with you, Mrs. Corbett.
Okay.
You must hear that all day long. All day long. No. Students coming up to you saying, Mrs. Corbett, do you know what I've really been looking forward to this week? Monday morning, biology with you.
No, do you know what they say?
They say, oh, for God's sake, Miss.
They walk past me and go, hey, there it is. Or, I saw you on My For You page.
So students walk past you and go, I listened to your podcast and you're part of my algorithm.
Yeah.
And they want that to be an insult, do they?
Yeah, you're on My For You. I'm like, got it.
Kids are dumb. Not the kids that listen to this, obviously. You guys are very, very smart. Unless you're listening to this ironically, in which case you're so cool.
So cool. Anyway, let's be even cooler. And we're going to recap some stuff today.
Yep.
But we're also going to do the required practical for this topic.
Cool. Okay.
This is a bit
what
of a weird
topic?
One.
What are we doing?
We're doing about ecology. We're doing about ecosystems.
Oh, okay. Right. We're still,
what's an ecosystem?
The required practical for ecology.
Yeah. What's an ecosystem?
What's an ecosystem with you? an ecosystem is the interdependent relationships between communities.
It's pretty close. It's the interaction of communities with their environment. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Okay, so let's quickly talk about feeding relationships.
Okay.
How do we look at feeding relationships in organisms?
How do we look at them?
Yeah, what's a feeding relationship? What am I talking about? We've covered it before.
The triangle.
It can be in a triangle.
Or
yeah.
A circle.
Or a circle. Yeah, what am I talking about?
The food chain.
Food chains, okay. Food webs. That's
that
feeding relationships.
Yeah.
No. So that shows the interdependence. So Speck says, students should understand that photosynthetic organisms are producers of biomass for life on Earth. Decode for me, please.
Photosynthetic organisms are producers for biomass on Earth.
Of biomass for life on Earth, yes.
Right, okay. So that means that plants, like things that do photosynthesis,
yeah,
are responsible for making biological mass. I've just repeated what you said, kind of.
You have, but you've decoded it. That's exactly what you've done. So what is a photosynthetic organism? You said is a plant, essentially.
Yeah.
Where do they do photosynthesis?
Everywhere, all around the globe.
Yeah, but where on the plant?
Oh, the leaf.
Where in the leaf?
The top of the leaf, Mrs. Corbett,
otherwise
obviously
known as the
attic.
Palisade layer,
obviously.
And where in the cells does photosynthesis occur?
Left, right. Left, top, right. Palisade layer.
What's the name of the organelle?
Clue.
Is it the nucleus?
Don't be silly, Mrs. Corbett, because they don't have a nucleus. I mean, they do have a nucleus, obviously, but it's not in the nucleus. That's where the DNA is.
Yep, that's correct. Is it in the vacuole?
Mitochondria.
No, what happens in the mitochondria?
Respiration. Oh, it's close. It was the opposite. What's the opposite of a mitochondria? Mitochondrio. She's not looking at me happily, guys.
She's not. She's fuming.
Okay, come on, concentrate now. So in the leaf, in the palisade layer, in the cell, it's the... Oh, chlorophyll form. Blask. Blast! Chloroplast!
It's the chloroplast. Chlorophyll absorbs the light in the chloroplast, and that allows carbon dioxide and water to react together under the influence of that light energy to create glucose and oxygen. Chemical reaction. That makes all of the biomass on Earth.
What is a biomass?
A biomass is dry matter. So, for example, plants make glucose. We eat plants. What I'm saying there, just to decode that for you, is I eat chips. Plants make potatoes.
Yeah.
I eat chips. That chip, some of it becomes my new biomass. Okay, because I might use it to make protein, etc. That protein is my biomass.
Right, okay. So biomass is like the biological fuel kind of thing for life.
Yeah, so if I was to completely dehydrate you,
yeah,
everything left that you are made of, your dry matter, that's your biomass.
Gotcha. So you might call biomass the building blocks of life.
You might.
I mean, I definitely will.
Okay, so we've spoken about food chains. We've spoken about biomass. Biomass is transferred in food chains. Food chains all begin with a...
producer.
Good. Which synthesizes molecules. This is usually a green plant or algae, which makes glucose via photosynthesis, which is what we just said. That's it for this part of the specification. It's ridiculous. Then it jumps to talk about what eats plants. So tell me about what eats a producer.
A consumer.
What kind of consumer?
A primary one.
Yeah, and what eats a primary consumer?
Secondary consumer.
And what eats a secondary consumer?
The enemy of the primary consumer. What? Would you say what is a secondary consumer?
No, what eats
a secondary consumer? A tertiary consumer.
Very nice. Consumers that kill and eat other animals are called...
Say that again?
Consumers that kill and eat other
predators.
Good. And those that are eaten are called...
prey.
In a stable community, the numbers of predators and prey do what?
In a stable community, the numbers of predators and prey stay the same.
Well, they don't stay the same.
Because they're all horses. In a stable community. What do you mean they don't stay the same? Oh, they don't stay the same. They fluctuate predictably, I imagine.
Yeah, good. So the numbers of predators and prey rise and fall in cycles. So if the number of prey increases later on, that will cause...
Because if they all stayed the same, that would mean that no one ever died or was born.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So you might need to have a look at a graph and then explain what is happening using the word predator, prey, increase, decrease, interdependence. Then, sort of out of the blue, really, there is a range of experimental methods to determine the distribution and the abundance of species in an ecosystem.
I know this one.
So, tell me what I mean by experimental methods determining the distribution and the abundance of species in an ecosystem.
All of that.
So, what does distribution mean?
Distribution means like how spread out it is.
How spread out they are, lovely. Whereabouts they are. What does abundance mean?
How many of them there
are. How many of them there are. So this is the required practical for this topic.
Is this the chuck in the square thing?
It's the chuck in the square thing. So there are two methods you need to know. Okay. Do you know what the square thing's called?
A painful hula hoop.
A painful hula hoop. It's called a quadrat.
Right.
Do you remember those quadrats?
The square?
Yeah, it's like a 50 by 50 centimetre square.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, remember those. Okay, so
it's called a square.
This part of the topic is the required practical, which means you need to be able to measure the population size of a common species in a habitat using sampling techniques to investigate the effects of a factor on the distribution of this species.
Right.
It's a right waffle, isn't it?
So it makes sense, though. It's science. It's science words.
Yeah, skills that you've got to be able to do in this is you've got to be able to, in relation to abundance, so how many. You need to be able to know what a mean, a median, and a mode is, which is from
goodness,
math. Do you remember those?
A mean is the is that the total divided by the amount?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you add up. So let's say I have taken, I've thrown my quadrat 10 times, and I've counted how many daisies are in the quadrat 10 times, and I say, what is the mean of the daisies in that area?
Yeah, say you counted 100 daisies over the course of the 10 throws, it would be 100 divided by 10.
Yeah, so I'd add up like first throw, second throw, third throw, then divide them by how many throws. Lovely. So that's the average, yeah?
So your mean is 10. Your median is it like the middle?
Yeah, it's the middle. You line
them all
up.
Your middle would be 50.
Well, depends on how many per throw. So for example, if I had 10 on the first throw, 9 on the second throw, 11 on the next throw, then 8 on the next throw, I'd line them all up in order.
Right.
And the one in the middle would be the median.
Oh, okay. So if you had like 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 10, 11, 11, 11, 11, 11, your median would be 10.
It might be 9. I can't remember how many 9s you said.
But equal amounts.
Yeah, but if it
was... Oh, I see. So the fifth throw. Yeah. Or like the... Oh, okay. Right, so the literal one in the middle as you write them down.
If they were in size order.
Okay.
So let's just have three numbers. Okay, throw one, I did 10.
Yeah.
Throw two, I did 11. And throw three, I did 9.
Yep.
I would put them in order, 9, 10, 11. My median would be 10.
Be 10, okay.
And what about mode?
Mode would be if you threw like 8 and then a 9 and then an 11 and then a 12, your mode would be 10, because it's the one in between the bottom and the top number.
No, that's range.
Right.
So mode means most common.
Oh.
So if you did like 9, 9, 8, 8, 8, 10, 10,
I remember my maths teacher now. Mode, most common. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. Mm. Okay, so let's get back to this practical. So there's two practicals you have to know. You have to know using a quadrat for sampling.
Yeah.
So you would calculate like the area of a field, and you would change a factor. So it might be like a field that that's used that people walk on, that play football on.
Sure.
And then a bit of the field where people don't play football on it. And then you would, by random means, you would need to put that quadrat in random spaces in that area.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that to make it random?
Close your eyes, spin around in a circle.
Humans aren't random. They're not random enough.
Use a drone. I don't know. You only got access to humans, I assume.
Yeah, how can you... So you've got an area of a field. Let's say you've got 10 by 10 metres.
Yeah.
How do you ensure that you are randomly placing that quadrat every time? So you can take a sample. You're not going to count every daisy in that 10 by 10 metres, are you? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you need to take a sample. Yeah. That's what this sampling is about. So 10 samples. How are you going to make sure your quadrat is placed randomly?
I don't know.
What could you do?
Throw it.
Throw it's not random.
Employ someone who has no idea, like someone that you've just found in the ground. I don't know, a zombie.
You literally work with maps all the time. Why can't you work this out?
Oh, okay. You map it out, first of all, and then you like, create a number random. Random number generator.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly it. So you will just section the field out. And you can even do, like, I've done it with my students where I get two bags. And I'm like, right, pick from bag A and bag B. And it will be like 10 steps forward, 4 steps right. Like, it's still random.
Cool. So you actually don't throw the thing. You randomly select it and then you place it very deliberately in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Count the number of the daisies and then you would work out the area. You would work out the average of daisies per area, and that would give you... And then you do it in the place where you were measuring the independent variable. It might be like where...
Now, what would you do if your random samples all ended up like on the same side?
Still random.
Okay.
So you can compare two sites. So normally they like to say, like, why are there no daisies here? And you're like, they're trampled on, etc. So you have to look at it. It might be light, like whether they're in the shade of the building, that kind of thing. Then the other one is called a transect, and that measures distribution.
Okay.
So transect would measure, like, for example, let's say you wanted to measure the number of daisies depending on how far away from the building they are. You would take a measuring tape from the building, away from the building, like 100 metres, let's say, and then you would place a quadrat every 5 metres, and that would measure your average distribution of those daisies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It says this practical activities provides opportunities for math skills. It really is a mathsy one. They want you to work out area. They want you to work out average. And you need to make sure you're investigating an effect or the factor of the distribution. You must, if you're mentioning a quadrat, you must mention about it being random and how you would do it. Random number generator is absolutely fine. Mapping out random coordinates, also fine. And that's it, really.
A lot of maths for biology.
Yeah, just make sure you know that if they're talking about a transect, that is distance away from something, and you place your quadrat like every meter or every 5 meters, and you do the counting that way. So then you can measure if the distribution changes, and you can plot a nice line graph.
Yeah, that is like a literal, like, physical graph that you're doing there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Is, yeah.
Love a graph.
Loser.
See you later.
See you later. Bye.